Well, there's always something being talked about on this program. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you on EWTN Radio, we love to tell you it's your program because it is, and it has been for over 10 years, actually a month ago today. It was 10 years of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. I am Jerry Usher, along with Debbie Giorgiani, the show team in place, and we thank you for making a little bit of time out of your day. Hopefully you can stay with us for the whole program, and Debbie, we hope that people will join us and participate in today's conversation.
Absolutely, Jerry. And we do want to thank the show team. Ace McKay is at the controls. Vanessa is call screening today, so she's delightful to talk to. Rich is on social media. Jerry and I are waving to you guys. Get the chats going. Here is the topic. You ready? You know those apologies we get? You know, somebody makes a mistake a million times and they say, I'm sorry. Are apologies helpful or can they be hurtful? You know, sometimes if an apology is given from the heart, it is very genuine. Of course, it heals, it repairs. But if you have that constant, perpetual, I'm sorry, all the time, it kind of loses its emphasis, or it really doesn't mean much anymore. What do you say to that, Jerry, before we begin with this discussion?
Well, I say apologies can help at times and they can hurt at times. And that's what we want to hear your perspective, the Take Two family on this. Has there been a time when you issued an apology that helped a situation, made it better? Has there been a time when you tried to issue an apology, maybe somebody would not accept it, and maybe it just, you know, exacerbated an already bad situation? What are your thoughts on this? Or maybe someone apologized to you and you, really had a change of heart towards somebody. We're talking about apologies today and the power and impact that they can have. And we only have a program when you participate at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
That is the number to call, or you can drop the comments in the chats and Rich will pick those up. You can call Vanessa at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're talking about apologies today. Ace is at the controls doing a fine job. And, you know, it's interesting, Jerry, when we have this wonderful show team in place that is prepared and ready to bring in all of the Take Two family. It's a beautiful thing when we come together. You know, you and I, we never lose our awe for the Take Two family. It's so incredible how you guys show up at just the right time. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you're listening, we consider you part of the family. So please dial in and talk about apologies. Are they helpful, hurtful? If they're given in an insincere way, do you accept it? Do you say, oh, that's just words, that doesn't mean anything? Or if you have that person that perpetually always, you know, says, I'm sorry, you know, you're thinking to yourself, why do they constantly say they're sorry? You know, do they have something? Is there a character flaw there or something? You can talk about that as well. Or a genuine, heartfelt apology really does help and heal relationships. Let's talk about it from all angles. Remember, Take Two is about the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. That's the way we roll here. And here's what you need to do. Pick up the phone. Come on, you don't need to pick up the phone. It's in your hand. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
We certainly do want to hear what you have to say. And more than that, you know, this show is really driven by your lived experiences, the wisdom that you have accumulated over time, over the years of your life, and living through the topics that we bring up on this program, many of which are, actually suggested by you, the listeners, and we take those very, very seriously. And so we're talking today. I remember I put this on the show calendar, Debbie, actually on a day when we had a caller that mentioned something about apologies and whether it was, you know, good or bad or whatever. And so I thought that would make a good show topic. So I went right away and put it on the show topic calendar. So Take Two family, that's how this works. That is how we roll. It is your show. You often decide the topics, and you definitely make the show impactful each and every day. So while phone lines are open and available, they're starting to fill up right now, as they always do, but some remain open. You can get on board right away, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Speaking of suggested topics, we've had at least a half a dozen of the Take Two family members that have asked us to address again caregiving. They are thrown into a caregiving role. They're not sure how to respond. They're not sure what to make of it. And so we're bringing on somebody who has lived it, written a book on it. Michelle Johnson's is coming back, and that show airs on Friday. So make sure you tune in for that if you are a caregiver or you are anticipating being a caregiver in the near future. This is the show for you on Friday. So that's it. So you just jogged my memory there, Jerry, which is great. But Jerry, ask me why I'm so excited today. I'm like really happy. Ask me.
Why are you so excited today, Debbie? You seem really happy.
Okay, so I just got back from the doctors. They did a complete checkup to make sure that I can fly, and I was cleared to fly. So I am cleared to get on that plane on Friday to head to Plano, Texas for the 25th anniversary for Guadalupe Radio Network. I'm not in great fighting shape yet, but I'm getting there, and the doctors are very pleased, and they said, go ahead, have a blast, go and celebrate. So I am going to celebrate with you, Jerry, and Adam Bly. It's probably the first time. Well, no, not the first time. Second time I'll be on stage with both co-hosts, which is so fascinating. I love that. And you introduced us, Adam and I, and it's been a wonderful experience and ministry work together. So thank you, Jerry.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, that is great news. Not a moment too soon. Actually, just a couple days away from making that trip to help celebrate the 25 years of Guadalupe Radio Network. So going to be a wonderful event. And this is going to be a wonderful program. The lines, like I said, are filling up right now. We'll get to your calls in a couple of minutes. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. Tell us of a time when you had that great feeling. Folks, it's a great feeling when there's something between two people and one of you apologizes, the other accepts the apology, and the relationship is not only restored, but sometimes made even better. So give us your experience, your lived experience of apologies today on the program. 833-288-3986.
Apologies today, if they are genuine, authentic, fake, if they just keep rolling off people's tongues, and it just seems like there's nothing behind it, or those genuine, heartfelt apologies that can really help and heal a relationship. Now, Brittany from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you were going to be first. You were going to lead the discussion. So please, if you just dropped off, you just dropped, and we'd love to have you back. So Vanessa's ready to answer your call if you want to call back. Brittany from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, talking about, I think, about kids' apologies. And I was going to actually address that as a parent. That is a big deal, Jerry, when you want your kids to really mean it when they say they're sorry, not just say, sorry, mom, sorry, dad. You know, they just quickly say that just so they can avoid the trouble or the consequences. But before we get to the phones, Jerry, let me just share the Laudate app. It's beautiful. It's along with the great Catholic content on the Laudate app. You can listen to the EWTN radio live stream. Open the Laudate app, then click on EWTN. Did I get the Latin right, Jer?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Okay. Are you in Latin class at seminary?
No, I'm not. I was in college 30 years ago. I took 2 years of Latin, and it helped me in many ways, especially in my ability to understand and learn the etymology of English, the English language, mm-hmm. because English, of course, derives from Latin, as do many other languages. So
right.
Latin helped me in a lot of ways, including my ability to understand and speak the English language.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay, so we do have some open phone lines if you want to talk about apologies today. Maybe you had to give an apology, maybe at work or at home with spouses. That comes up a lot. and you were trying to prepare an apology and it didn't go well. Maybe that's your situation. Or maybe you have a really hard time saying you're sorry. There are people, Jerry and I are in life coaching ministry, and there are people all the time that come to us and they'll say, you know, my spouse or my friends, they want me to say I'm sorry. And I choke on the word. I can't do it. I can prove that I can be better. I can show them I'm better, but I don't know. I just don't feel good about saying I'm sorry. Is that you? Let's talk about it. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And just another quick invitation to Brittany from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We'd love to hear your story. Jer?
You just reminded me of a Happy Days episode. Here's a blast from the past. Remember the Fonz?
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't say, I'm sorry or I'm wrong. He'd say, I'm so, I was. But as Elton John told us, sorry seems to be the hardest word. So, yeah, we're talking about saying sorry today at Apologies on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. 833-288-3986. We will go to Judy in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening today on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Judy. You can start off the calls today. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, thank you. Felt like I have a perfect example. Like just this weekend, you know, like around Thursday or Friday, my husband and I retired, and you know, elderly sort of, and my husband has dementia and his knees are gone bad and he can't do our yard care anymore. Like he really used to do it really well. So anyway, I asked my son if he could cut our grass, take care of our lawn, you know, and he said he couldn't, he didn't have time. He works in HVAC. And so he said, he texted me the number of a guy that could, but he would charge $50. And so I said, well, we can't afford to pay $50 right now. And so he just said, well, you know, what to tell you. That was the end of that. So Saturday morning, I woke up to hearing a lawnmower and weed eater in my yard. And I just felt so blessed and just thrilled inside. And so I got up, I made my coffee, and said, just thank you so much. And, you know, he had a gruff tone. He said, well, what are you going to do now? You know, what's your plan? And he just, you know, he just stole all of my joy from that moment. In other words, he's saying, I can't do this anymore. So, you know, my husband and I were trying to, we have a two-story, we're trying to downsize to a single level. Because, you know, that's just what we need now. Something smaller, too, you know, easier to take care of. And so I told him, I said, well, we're just going to continue trying to get the house ready to sell. And anyway, it just didn't go well. So then Sunday after church, his fiance texted and said, hey, Miss Judy, can we come over and get in your pool today? And so I started to say, well, no, because I'm not feeling real good toward my son right now. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's just going to, you know, continue the whole thing on. And she's so sweet. So I just said, yeah, that sounds good. Come on over. So they did. And we talked about it a little bit in the pool. And he just said, you know, I told him how I felt. I said, I was really in a really good mood and feeling very grateful. And I said, and you talked very gruff to me. And he's like, well, that's just the way I am. That's how I am. And I'm just like, I know that's how you are. I said, but I'm very sensitive and this is how I am. So, you know, and then we left it at that.
How old is your son, Judy?
He's in his 40s.
Okay. So he understands that he could work his way or improve from that, correct? Or is something stopping him?
He's good.
I'm sorry, one more time?
I mean, I think that he should know that. I mean, I'm in counseling, and I've talked to him about going to counseling, and he's just stubborn. Well,
yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of times with people, it's a pride thing. You know who I am. You know what I'm made of. You know what I'm like. You know, we hear that a lot in coaching. When we work with couples, spouses, they'll say, "Well, she knew who I was when she married me." You know, that's kind of a bit of a cop out, if you will, because it doesn't leave room for growth. You know, if we're gonna say that. If we're going to say that, then that's how God should look at us, right? God should hold us in a place at a certain moment in our life and never let us advance, never let us grow and change and evolve. Well, God doesn't see us that way. And so why are we seeing each other that way? I don't have a lot of patience for that. I got to be honest with you, Judy. You express to your son what you need. I mean, he can... If he's capable of doing it, unless he has some kind of brain compromise or something, that, you know, he should say, okay, Mom, I'll try a little harder, or I'll try to be sensitive to that when I'm around you. I don't think there's anything wrong with what you did and expressing what you need. And I think that it's a shame that people won't take the opportunity for growth. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I was curious to know how did that conversation, did you just kind of drop the conversation, Judy, at that point, or did it go on any further from there?
Well, once he told me this is how I, you know, how he is, and then I said, told him how, well, this is me, I'm sensitive, and, it kind of dropped from there.
Mm.
You know, he said, he's not changing, and I said, I'm not changing.
Well, okay. So how is it? So maybe in the future, sometime when you're with him and he's open, just say, son, you know, is there a chance that we can start to learn about each other better and try to work with each other so that it does feel right? So it didn't, I mean, because you said, you made it very clear that it kind of robbed you of your joy that day. That's not fair.
My
day.
Yeah.
So,
I'm very sensitive.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I think that's a beautiful thing. You're a mom. I think it's wonderful that you're sensitive. I think that's precious about you. I mean, if people are, you know, overly sensitive and they, you know, they get hurt with every time they encounter somebody, well, I can understand that's an issue too. So maybe both of you can kind of, you know, work together to have it just be a little bit better for both of you. I think there's room there for growth, and I think it could be quite lovely for you and your son. Anyway, that's what I'm going to pray for. I put you and your son in our prayer book, Judy.
Thank you, Judy and Stephen.
Oh, I love that. Okay. And your husband too. How's he doing real quickly?
Chris, not well. The neurologist, they ran a test and they found out that is not Alzheimer's, but he does have dementia pretty severely, and his knees, I mean, he can barely walk, so... And all of this, I feel like I've lost my husband. I mean, I'm going through a loss as well.
Well,
I feel like I should be able to depend on my grown adult children. I have three in the area. And, you know, I mean, I feel like I should be able to ask them for some help.
Well, yeah, if everybody does their part, you know, you don't have to overwhelm any one of the children. But if everyone does their part, I mean, it is a family, and families should work together. And when you have a situation like this with the dad, you know, a declining that way, then the family should pitch in. I totally agree with that. I put your whole family in the prayer book, Judy.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Keep us posted. Absolutely. Okay, guess what, Jerry? Brittany called back.
Brittany did call back. We're going to get to her. Joe, you'll be right after Brittany. And we have that line open that Judy was on. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Join this conversation talking apologies today, good or bad, helpful, hurtful. Well, they can be just about any of the above there. Share your lived experience with apologies, giving or receiving, 833-288-3986. Okay, Brittany did call us back in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Brittany. Thanks for calling back in.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call back.
Sure.
I am a mom of three young kids, and with teaching them rights and wrongs come a lot of apologies. But I've learned over the years that some of them are kind of empty apologies and just going through the motion. So we had to employ a different strategy of basically a you broke it, you fix it policy. Mm. That just because saying sorry doesn't fix them. So a lot of the times, whether they like hurt their sibling, whether on accident or even on purpose, like you can't go do anything until you both feel better. And just teaching them that, yes, even if it was an accident, like they are still hurt and a sorry doesn't fix that.
Wow, I love that strategy. You know, I used something like that too, similar when my kids were little. But I have to tell you, I don't remember requiring my kids at all to say I'm sorry, because I felt in general it was just a very quick response by kids when they were in trouble. You know, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. You know, real quickly, thinking that that's going to lessen everything. and it was kind of interesting. I used to try to get them to what you said, Brittany, about trying to repair it, to fix it, to make amends, to talk about it, you know, to really express it. And then if a sorry comes afterwards, that's how you know it's really from the heart. Right, Brittany?
Yes. And it's amazing how much the kids like transform into, like you said, like the quick, like, oh, I'm sorry, into the, oh, I'm sorry I hurt you. Like, here, have my ice cream to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And it's just like you can see the tenderness of their hearts come out once they have to fix the problem.
Right, right. Interesting. I love that. Yeah.
I have not had children, but I've been around plenty of families and people who have. And I think it's just a great opportunity to teach the kids that, you know, things like this coming from the heart really can make a difference. I think even as adults, we realize that, you know, a lot of times we wonder, you know, well, if I apologize, then they're just going to throw things in my face and what I did and make it worse. But I think apologies can be very disarming and can really help to soften the heart of another person. And I think when kids do this, you know, I think that can definitely happen with them. And I think it could be a great lesson that they would learn as they're growing up.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Brittany, a quick question for you and Jerry. I'm just curious, because now you're getting me to go all the way back to my childhood. I don't remember saying I'm sorry to my parents. I don't think they required it. Did your parents require an I'm sorry, Brittany?
They made us acknowledge that we had done a wrong.
Okay.
And I don't, like, not necessarily an I'm sorry, but just, like, just make us acknowledge that, like, a wrong was done.
Gotcha. Okay, so take accountability, acknowledge it. Yeah. How about you, Jerry, when you were growing up, did you have to say I'm sorry? Was that, like, a house rule?
I think we did, yeah, yeah. And, you know, on top of having to say we were sorry, we probably got some other form of, you know, consequences as well, if right. I remember correctly. So the apology wasn't enough, you know.
You were a typical boy. That's true. Okay. Yeah. You know, but that's interesting, because I find, Brittany, how about with your spouse? Do you guys say I'm sorry to each other?
But we kind of have adopted this other policy of the basically that you broke it, you fix it, because that's more of a way forward than just the true I'm sorry.
Sure. Oh, I love that. We're already getting messages in, Brittany, of Take Two family members. They love your family strategy. I think they're going to adopt it as well. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling back.
Brittany. Yeah. All right, Joe, you're going to be next here in just a moment. And then Brenda in Boston will be right after Joe. And we have room for you as we discuss the art of apologies today. Are they helpful, hurtful? When can they be employed in a beautiful way? Sometimes they just don't do any good at all. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. Thanks for coming along today on your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you on EWTN Radio. We are going to get right back to your calls in a moment. We just could not do this show or any EWTN program without the stations that are out there that get on the air and that you help support with your prayers and your financial offerings. And we want to give a big congratulations to WCLP 98.3 FM, serving Lake Placid, New York. They're celebrating 9 years as an EWTN radio partner. So our hats are taken off to John and the Light of Truth Ministries team from all of us here at EWTN Radio.
Beautiful. Okay, Brenda, hang on. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get to Joe. Joe is a first-time caller calling in from Florida on Sirius XM 130. That's the way Joe's listening. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Hello. How are you folks?
We're doing great, Joe.
Doing well.
Yeah. Basically, I'd like to share a little bit and then give you kind of my perspective on apologies in general. I've been at the receiving end both of very sincere apologies and also very superficial ones. Mm-hmm. Obviously, emotionally, they have very wide different effects. The sincere ones clearly help to heal and make things better. Those that don't sound sincere, I have learned through experience that I have to realize I'm not God. I can't read that person's heart. Mm-hmm. The reason that that apology is not sounding sincere may actually be something I'm blocking or maybe something else that happened in that person's life. Maybe at that moment they're very hurt by something else. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for them to be sincere in what they're saying. So I've come to the philosophy of joyfully trying to accept every single apology, regardless of how it sounds to me.
Right.
And I do want to say that there's one more type of apology that a lot of times people don't pay attention to or realize. And that is apologies without words, kind of like the previous caller was talking. Sometimes people take actions, and those actions are not necessarily always asked, but they do something that mm-hmm. is beneficial to you in one way or another. And I believe that those, in their own way, are also apologies, whether they're spoken or not. And that's pretty much where I wanted to share today.
Well, that was wonderful sharing, Joe, and thank you for calling in and being a first-time caller. I know Jerry has some brilliant comments, as he always does, but let me just share one thing with you about what you just said. It takes a really deep, strong person to do what you do, Joe, by way of response and reaction to people. You are tapping into their walk, and you are trying to see where their come from is. And that takes a really beautiful soul to do that. That is a saintly quality. And I just say kudos to you, Joe, for taking that approach. I completely agree with you. And that is because I've done coaching for over 20 years. And people have a difficult time. I get sad every time I think about certain clients that I've had. When they have said that deep in their heart they have felt sadness or remorse or regret or, you know, just pain, emotional pain when they have hurt somebody else, but they couldn't bring themselves to say the words "I'm sorry" because they've had their own wounds that they have dealt with from childhood, or they've had a certain insecurity about humbling themselves in such a way because they have been hurt when they were younger. And so you are spot on. And so I think actions sometimes very much speak louder than words. And so you really should critique that person or judge that person, not judge in a eternal sense, like where they're going, heaven or hell, but judge the actions. And I think that's a beautiful, very godly way to do it, Joe. So God bless you for that. I just think it's awesome because I do think these these casual I'm sorries all the time, they lose their power and their meaning, and they don't, and it's just something, they're words that are said just to avoid a conflict. And so we really should be able to try to journey with that person. Did I capture what you were trying to say, Joe? I'm just with thinking of all these clients that I worked with over the years, and you're spot on. What do you say?
Yeah, that was absolutely it. You know, the quality of the apology should not rest in our heart. An apology is an apology. And just the fact the person made the effort speaks something about what they're trying to do.
Right. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Joe, are you in ministry? Is Joe in ministry? I have to ask him. Joe, are you in ministry? Are you a deacon or something?
Well, there was a time in my life I was interested in becoming a deacon, but circumstances in my marriage prevented it. So okay. I'm just an everyday Joe in the church.
Okay.
Well, you're sounds like you're more than an everyday Joe, but I just wanted to comment real quickly, Joe. I love how you brought into this whole discussion, you know, we don't know the heart of another person, God does. And I was mentioning earlier how, you know, an apology can soften even the hardest heart that may not want to receive that apology, but by God's grace, getting in and moving and being active in that situation. And I think the same applies here. When you're saying, you know, it's not up to us to determine whether the apology is sincere or not. By receiving that apology, grace once again can get in and work in that situation in that other person's heart. So I think what God is looking for out of us is Christian charity. Mm-hmm. And that involves definitely issuing apologies when they're necessary and receiving them, I'd say, unconditionally, Joe, which mm-hmm. is what you're kind of pointing out here for our audience today.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that the most painful thing to me is trying to issue an apology, believing in myself I'm being truly remorseful of the event and trying to make amends and having that apology not be accepted.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that hurts deeply. And so I try to apply the same principle. I don't know why they're not accepting it, but I'll just have to ride with it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I don't want to do that to anybody else, regardless of what I think of their apology.
Right. Well, that's a beautiful disposition that you have, Joe. Your heart is very in the right place, absolutely, in regard to this whole conversation that we're having here today. So we just thank you for calling in and sharing your words of wisdom. I have no doubt, Joe, we say it all the time on the show. You're a first-time caller, but we tell our Take-Two family every day what you call and share on this show is going to impact a lot of other people. And, Debbie, I have no doubt that what Joe has shared on this broadcast today has done just that.
I completely agree. Thank you, Joe, for stepping up and saying yes to the Holy Spirit, making that call. Call us again, okay, sir?
Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you.
God bless
you so much.
Joe.
Okay, so earlier Judy called in and she spoke about her husband, and he's in that health decline as he ages. And then we were talking about Alzheimer's and dementia. We also talked about that we have this caregiving show coming up on Friday with Michelle Johnson. It's a brand new show, and it's all about what happens when you are thrown into the role of a caregiver, what to expect, what to feel, how to feel, what to get out of it, you know, how to take care of yourself, all these things. And honestly, we should all be listening to this show because we don't know what happens tomorrow, and something could happen with a family member and then we're thrown into that role and we have to be ready for it. But Brenda was prompted to call in because Brenda has some words of wisdom and advice for Judy. And so Brenda in Boston, Massachusetts on the EWTN app, that's the way Brenda's listening. It's not exactly the apology show that we're doing, but Brenda, you know, and we open the phone lines to all of our family members, the Take-Two family members, when you have something to help another family member. So Brenda, take it away.
Okay. So I turned in right at the end of listening to that woman talking about, I believe she said it was her husband mm-hmm. who had some kind of dementia and that they had tested him and it definitely was not Alzheimer's. Well, I don't know what the other symptoms are if she described them, but my mother and my grandmother both had normal pressure hydrocephalus, which can happen to older adults. And it causes difficulty walking. I think she said he had difficulty walking. It causes bladder issues, and it causes memory decline, which looks like other dementias. But if they catch it early enough, they can actually put a shunt in there to drain the fluid off. My mother was 89 when we finally got her to somewhere where they figured out what was going on, and it was too late to do a shunt. But they actually drained her, and she was very different. We had her back again for a few weeks before she finally declined and went on to her reward. But I just wanted to pass that along, that that's just something that people don't think about, and it's something that happens in older adults. You just only think of a child being born with hydrocephalus, but it can happen to older adults, and it can cause those kind of problems.
Wow, interesting.
Good. Yeah,
but Brenda, that just goes to show, this is why we love the Take-Two family. See, your heart, you cared so much about Judy's call, and what she shared about her husband, that you imparted this experience that took place with your parents. Brenda, thank you. Thank you so much for caring. I mean, this is why we say this is the mystical body of Christ in action when we are doing these shows. And so I just want to say thank you, and I hope Judy is listening, Brenda. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Call us again.
Thank you,
Brenda. Thank you. Yeah. That was beautiful.
Yeah, well, it is. It is the body of Christ working in a beautiful, beautiful way. Yeah. Go ahead, Deb.
Well, I just wanted to share, because as Brenda was talking, it made me think of my aunt, who's a Dominican sister. I talk about her a lot in northern New Jersey. In fact, our dear friend Joy helps to take care of her at the infirmary at the Mount St. Dominic Caldwell College in New Jersey. My aunt's sister, Carmel Lavolsi, is 99 today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if she's listening, if she's listening, happy birthday. I mean, she's one year away from, getting that president letter. Does the president still issue those letters at 100 years old?
I don't know. I haven't lived long enough to get one yet. So I have to ask you, though, how many years has she been in religious life? Did she go into religious life like right out of high school or something?
Yes. Yeah. She was cloistered for a long time and then into, she was in ministry out in the public. And she's ever since she was in high school, so my mother was the youngest of five. Her oldest brother was the priest. And then the next one in line was a girl, and she became a nun. So my grandmother had a priest first and then a nun.
Wow. So it sounds like she's been in religious life like 80 years or
exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Yeah.
I know.
I had a very dear priest friend, Father Francis White. He was 77 mm-hmm. years in religious life, 70 years a priest, passed away, I believe, at about the age of 96. So some people have those genes and live to be a ripe old age. Before we go back to the phones, I just want to mention real quickly that today, if you have questions about your faith or the Catholic Church, anything related to that, prayer and things like of that nature, you can join us for EWTN Open Line with Father Mitch Pacwa. And that is tomorrow at 3 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. Father Mitch is the Wednesday expert on Open Line. That's 3 mm-hmm. Eastern Time right here on EWTN Radio.
There's still time to get a call in. We're going to get to our next Take-Two family member in just a moment. I want to give the number and then share this important update from Ace McKay. He's right on top of things, Jerry. The number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're talking about apologies today. And we talked about that president letter at when you reach 100 years old. And Ace just found out that the president still sends letters, and you can even request letters as well. Wow.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I know. I'm excited about that.
Well, it is, it, It is letter worthy, isn't it? It's more worthy of recognition, reaching 100.
Right, right. So what do you say we go to Helena, Montana?
Okay, Camila, I hope I said your name right. Correct me if I did not. Camila in Helena, Montana, listening on Sirius XM 130. Was the pronunciation of your name correct?
That's correct.
Hello, Camila? Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. That's correct. Pamela.
Good. Oh, Camila, okay. Well, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in from Helena.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So go right ahead. Tell us your story.
Yes, I wanted to say, address the I'm sorry thing. Somehow, my husband's family, I guess, never were allowed to say I'm sorry. I don't know. But anyway, when our kids would do something wrong, and he probably said it to me too, I don't know, he would say, don't say you're sorry, just don't ever do it again. And I just always thought that was hurtful. But when I heard my son say that to his kids, I just stopped. I said, no, you know, we have to stop this. I know your dad said that many times, but that is wrong. You will always make a mistake again. I mean, you have to accept the I'm sorry, and you know, you can maybe deal with things. Mm-hmm. But don't say I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, in coaching, what we often share with clients is that to say you're sorry, and then to add an additional part of that, saying, you know, I realize what I've done. I understand it now, and I'll try really hard not to do it again. You know, and you bring the whole, it kind of fully rounds out the apology. And that can help. I think sometimes when men especially don't want people to say I'm sorry is because they've heard I'm sorry's for so many years and it doesn't mean anything anymore. And also they probably don't practice it either. And so it's an interesting thing with I'm sorry's. I will tell you though that oftentimes when we do coaching, there are a lot of coaches that don't believe in I'm sorry's because they think it you should really just try to explain and be accountable and work harder next time, because the I'm sorry itself sometimes loses its emphasis, loses its power to really heal, especially if it's used too loosely. So I can understand why he may feel that way. I've heard it a lot over the years. What do you say, Jerry? What's your take on it?
Well, I'm not saying this about your husband, Camila, but I think for some men, it might be seen as a sign of weakness, you know, saying I'm sorry. But actually, you know, it can be a sign of great interior strength, great strength of character, you know, if you have that ability to say you're sorry. So anyway, I don't know. What do you think about what Debbie or I shared, Camila?
Yeah, I think there has to be a balance. I mean, we're all going to make the mistake again. Just tell people never to say I'm sorry. Just don't do it again. It's not helpful.
Right. Well, I mean, and even if you just said to that person, you know, I won't do it again, that's in a way like an I'm sorry, right? If you said to the person, I'm not going to do it again, you're recognizing that what you did was incorrect, right? So in a way, you're
right.
Yeah, people are saying it without saying it. Okay, this is going to drive me crazy just because I'm a person that loves names. Does your name, is it Kamala or is it Pamela? Which with a C or a P?
It's a P, Pamela.
That's what I thought. Okay, hello, Pamela. We had please forgive us. We had a C on the document. I love names, and I'm so big on names that I have to get it right. I even spell everything. In fact, we had a previous caller, Judy, who said Stephen. So I even put it in both ways on the prayer book: Stephen with a V and Stephen with a PH. So just to make sure. But Pamela, you know, did you share with your husband that it kind of bothers you that he feels this strongly about not saying I'm sorry?
Oh, thank you for asking that. Yes, after I brought it up, I've never heard that line again. I mean, I heard it for years. And then when I brought it up and, you know, how hurtful that was, I never hear my son say it, and his kids say they're sorry, and I've never heard my husband say it again either.
Oh, that's a good spouse.
Yeah, that's good. And I wonder if President Trump has ever told that he can't ever say he's sorry. Because I know my husband rarely says he's sorry, but at least he doesn't tell me not to be sorry anymore.
I don't want to make it seem like men have a more difficult time than women, but I will tell you in coaching, it has become very clear that it does seem as though men have a little bit more difficult time, saying I'm sorry, because they're wanting to achieve, they're wanting to do things right, they're wanting to, women, and that's just in coaching what I've noticed. But I don't know, Jerry, what's your, you have all these brothers. Did your brothers, say they're sorry after, you guys were typical boys. You probably wrestled and, fought with each other. Did you say you're sorry to each other?
Probably occasionally. It depends on, how badly one of us got beat up, I think. we do now. I mean, we're very, 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 very close. All four of us brothers are very close. I thank God for that. But
Yeah. See, I will tell you, Pamela, my husband doesn't, Marty, but he rarely makes any mistakes. I have to be honest. My husband is really sweet. But he doesn't say I'm sorry easily. I have actually had to ask him. I'll say, Marty, aren't you sorry? And he's like, oh, yeah. And that's it. So I don't know if it's a guy thing, Pamela. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just harder for guys.
Yeah.
They feel like it's a weakness. They need to be perfect.
Right. Yeah, I have no problem saying I'm sorry. I say I'm sorry to myself all the time. Pamela, yeah. You're awesome. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thanks, you're wonderful. Pamela.
That was a great call. Helena, Montana is gorgeous, by the way.
It is. Absolutely. It's one of the very, very beautiful regions of this country I believe I've been to Helena, probably been a long time ago now, but I remember driving through Montana. I think this has changed now, but one time many, many years ago, I drove through Montana. The speed limit was on the signs. It says reasonable and prudent. It didn't have a number for the speed limit. I think that's changed now, but it was like it was kind of like the Audubon driving through Montana in some places.
So there's no, that is so cool. Reasonable and prudent. Okay. Oh, yeah. I hear a familiar voice. Is this Jack Williams?
It is. How are you guys?
We're great.
Hey, Jack.
Great. Hey, first of all, I'm so sorry for breaking in on the program.
we don't believe you.
Yeah, we accept your apology.
Hey, listen, I wanted to share a little story. It's one of my favorite stories. Just really touching and sweet story. When my late wife Susie and I lived in Des Moines, Iowa, there was a priest who was the parochial vicar at the cathedral for many years, and he was Vietnamese, and he had studied underground for the priesthood in Vietnam under pain of death were he to be found out. He got to Des Moines, he finished his seminary formation in the Diocese of Des Moines, and thanks be to God, now they have established a Vietnamese parish that he is now the pastor of, and that's a fabulous thing. But his English was very, very shaky in the early days when he had first gotten here. And so you would go to confession. They had confession in the middle of the day at the cathedral, as they do many places. And he had a hard time with the word contrition, I guess, because when you would get to that part, instead of saying, now say your act of contrition and I'll give you absolution, he would say, okay, you tell Jesus you sorry.
Oh, sweet.
That's sweet. Yeah.
And your topic today reminded me of that.
Oh, you tell Jesus you're sorry. I love that. But that's so innocent. Don't you I love that. See, that's from the heart, See, that's what I think we're trying to get to with this episode, Jack. What do you think? I think our callers really nailed it. It really has to come from the heart.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's the two hardest words in the English language sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. We do it all the time. Yeah. When you're walking in the door of a grocery store or something and someone's grabbing the door to walk out, what's the first thing? Oh, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, right. I mean, the words just kind of come out. It's just almost part of our nature. So
one last real quick thing, Jerry. I just want you to know that, you know, when you wake up one morning and you're doing a show and you hear about a nun who's turning 99 mm-hmm. years old, it makes mm-hmm. you realize just how old your co-host is.
Yeah.
God bless, guys.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
God bless, Jack. Thank you.
That was wonderful. Oh, what a great episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Vietnamese-born priests, San Diego just got a brand new bishop, Bishop Michael Pham, who is Vietnamese-born. He's now the new bishop of San Diego.
Beautiful.
So that's exciting for the people in that part of the country. So, mm-hmm. Wow, what a great conversation today, as always. Debbie, it's been great having the Take Two family with us. The show team has been fantastic, and we're looking forward to another outstanding broadcast tomorrow on this program.
Okay, so have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.